Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise Above 2K. I'm Gax, here as always with the talent, the Unicorn Big, who is here joining us as always. How are you doing tonight, my man?
Great. Another week in the books, ready to keep grinding.
Yeah, this was a particularly grinding week for you, which very excited to share about with everyone. We're going to get back into 2K a little bit this week. We've been NBA heavy, but according to the Unicorn Big, who watches the numbers all the time, this has been a good thing for us because we're celebrating being over 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. So pretty exciting. How is that hitting with you? How is that hitting with you, Unicorn Big?
It's hitting well. I mean, you know, we got a long way to go, but going from 17 to 1,000 in about 2.5 weeks, I feel like is a pretty big accomplishment. As we talk right now, we're closing in on 1,300. So, you know, hopefully we can get to 15 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5,000 and beyond. We've got a lot of hard work to do, but it's been a labor of love, and can't do it without you, producer Gax.
Thank you. I would also like to say that if you're one of the 14 people who listen to this strictly in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Same content, but with these mugs included as well, and graphics. So for everyone who's been a part of the YouTube journey, we really appreciate it. We're producing shorts and long form videos like this. We also post a bunch on TikTok and Insta. So follow us on all platforms. We're really excited to have everyone there. But the last week has not only been a great 2K week for you, it's also been a great NBA week for you. And I'm not just talking about wins from the Spurs and Pistons, but you were seeing some of these in person. Will you chronicle for the people your travels since the season began?
Sure. So shortly after we recorded our last episode, I made my way over to Houston from San Antonio on a Friday night to watch the Pistons play the Houston Rockets. Very exciting stuff because Kevin Durant's first home game in Houston.
Are you sure it's not Durin?
No, it's
Durant. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure you weren't making the same mistake I made.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
So so that was exciting. And I'd never been to the Toyota Center before, so that was exciting. And obviously seeing the Pistons live for the first time this year, very exciting stuff. So it's kind of that balance where you want to see Durant have a good game, but you don't want to see the Rockets win. So it was a neck and neck game the whole time. We were in the second row up from the second row up in the balcony. I think I was one of 10 to 20 people there wearing Pistons gear. I actually wasn't. I swear to God, I actually wasn't the only person wearing a Pistons Rodman jersey. I saw one down in row 7 in the lower deck.
Now we know there's two.
There's two now.
It's been confirmed in the wild.
There's two. It was a great game. Jalen Durin elbowed somebody in the head and got kicked out of the game.
Of course.
A. Stewart fouled out. Ron Holland fouled out. So it was a lot of Paul Reed action for the Pistons the entire time. KD dropped 37 and the Rockets lost. So we got to see Durant be amazing, have a great game, and the Rockets not win. They are starting a very big lineup. I believe they have a 6'11 guard, or at least they say he's a guard. The Pistons won and it was great. I got to see a friend there. So that was really great. And then on the way
but
back.
This was the quintessential fantasy owner experience when like the main guy on your fantasy is playing your real team and you want them to just go off, but your team's still not lose in overtime or whatever happens.
Yes. Yes. It was great. And then we listened to the Spurs game on the radio on the way home. And Thursday, we went to the Spurs Heat game here in San Antonio. I decided, since it was going to be my only opportunity this year to sport my Miami Heat stuff, I went wearing, and Gax would love this, I went wearing my Heat hat, my Jordan 4 Fire Reds, and my Shaq jersey.
Yes.
And a lot of people were like, why are you rooting for that team? And I had to say, well, like a douchebag, I'm actually rooting for the Spurs, but it's my only chance to wear Heat stuff this year. So, and they're like, oh, respect, respect.
My bozo producer's second favorite team is the Heat.
Yeah, so we went to that. It was kind of a back and forth game, but I think the Spurs went up 17 in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden the Heat came back up one, and with about 14 seconds left, Victor made a basket. They went up 6 points with, I think, 14 seconds left. Victor's whole bringing his arms up like this, the crowd's going nuts. And you know, the Spurs have won 5 titles. And this is the first time they've started a season 5-0. So we can just let that sit for a second. Victor went off, played 40 minutes because Luke Kornet's hurt and Biombo is ineffective, to say the least. 18 boards, 5 blocks, 6 assists, just absolute madman, and we'll get to him later.
Well, I mean, what I want to ask is whether this is the kind of performance that puts him in the MVP conversation. We will find out later, and that in the industry is what we call a tease. So, before we get to MVP talk, I would like to talk a little bit of 2K, because it's been an interesting few weeks for you, but this week has been especially fun because there's been a little bit of magic restored in the bedroom between you and 2K, and I want to talk about where this came from and sort of how it's been developing. Because speaking with you the last 2 episodes, we've done very little in the way of 2K talk. And part of that is because since the large patch, where your build has still been effective, it hasn't been providing the same spark for you. Can you talk about that experience a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, I love the 7-4. I was shooting great with it, but I guess because of the lack of speed, I really couldn't change games. It was like, I'm either going to get open or shoot over people, or I don't. So I can have a 27, 30, 40 point game, or I can have a 5-point game if I get face guarded the entire time. I don't have a lot of vertical. So if I'm going against a guy with a low vertical and I'm taller than him, I'm going to grab a bunch of boards. Mm-hmm. If not, I'm going to get cleaved even by a 6'11", 7-footer with high vertical, even though I have high defensive rebounds. So I kind of got it in my head that, like, I've reached the limit with this build because everyone has a 7-4. And it just kind of got, like, I hate to say boring, but I want to be able to break games, to change games.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that you brought that up a minute ago. Like, I was able to be effective, but it wasn't really enough to turn the tide. And in private conversations, you were telling me a lot, like, man, it just comes down to who you get in random queue, like whether you're going to have people who can play or whether you're going to have, and as your rank slides a little bit, it feels like you have more feeders on your team that are just like, just not, you're not able to carry them around. And with the build you had, you couldn't carry anything, so you're really at the dependent with dependency of who they line you up with.
Yeah, totally. And I don't run a harp on randoms a ton this episode because we've done that so much. But I will say,
but that wasn't necessarily the crux of the issue. The crux of the issue was you weren't able to effectuate games in the way that you wanted to, and it was making you more reliant on random. And 100%. I think that's a rut that we all fall into from time to time, but we blame it on the people we're getting queued up with, not with the fact that we don't have a build that can really push the envelope and move things forward.
Totally, totally. And that's where I sat. I mean, yes, shooting 62%, but only averaging 14, 15 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of wore me thin.
Okay. So What did you identify, and how did the scouting a new build look like? You obviously wanted to keep the size the same, but what were your what was your thought process as you looked for what the next steps were?
So the game, obviously, and anyone who plays this game who's listening to this, the game.
Me too, of course.
Yeah, the game will limit you physically based on how tall you are, how much you weigh, or what your wingspan is. So I wanted to continue to hit threes and maybe improve on that a little bit. But I wanted a much higher vertical so I could be more effective at rebounding. I wanted to be faster. So when I was going up against a slower guy or a bigger guy, I could go around him and actually like make dunks and make plays behind the defense, cut to the basket, things like that, that are just really hard to do when you have a slow 7'4" build. So I kind of settled on 6'11", 6'11" wingspan to go along with that. Heavy, 268. I've already put some cat breakers on speed, so I'm 72 overall speed.
Okay.
A high driving dunk, a 91 overall three-pointer, which has been fabulous. I'm shooting like 75% in rec, and honestly, today in Pro-Am, I shot like 85%.
Wow.
Three.
Okay.
Higher ball handles. So I can actually make plays, make dribble moves, and go around guys, and still having high pass accuracy. So what I realized is that, and I heard after this, not before, after, I promise, that 6'11 is the new meta, but what I'm realizing is for what I lost for height and for being able to like have that height advantage when I'm shooting, I've actually gained way more in the fact that if I find my open spots, I can still shoot really well, if not better. And I'm more effective on the boards because I'm just way more athletic. So that's where I'm at right now. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, and a peek behind the curtain, the Spurs are playing right now. So, Unicorn Big has them on pause, which is why he wants to get out of here to go watch them. But if they weren't playing, he'd want to get out of here to get back on the sticks. And that has to be a good feeling, I would assume.
It's totally awesome. Today's Sunday, the Lions played. Won't talk about that result, but it's depressing.
Could have gone better.
Could have gone better. But besides the Lions game today, I literally played all morning. I played 3 or 4 hours this morning, and then I played another 3 or 4 hours this afternoon. One thing I want to be very intentional with this time around with this new build is not giving more to the game than my mental energy will allow. And when I'm feeling not necessarily tired physically, but I'm feeling a little fatigued from the game, I'm going to stop playing so I don't add up L's when they don't need to happen.
Yes.
So today, 1-4 straight in rec. And that was enough for me. And I paused and did what I needed to do for the next few hours. Then hit Pro-Am today. Had a winning record, played really well, and had one loss that we could have won. And that was it. So this is going to be my new thing. I'm not going to play until my thumbs break. I'm going to really focus in on how I can best effectively use my time and get as most out of when I'm feeling the energy as possible. And that's kind of how I've been spending my time on the game.
And that's how you have to do it. And look, I'm someone who's spent a lot of time doing ranked queues in various games and like trying to do ladder nights and things like that. And some of the best tips that I have in this for anyone out there, and I've given them all the Unicorn Big Season surprises to him. One is exercise. Anytime, even between queues, that you can do some pull-ups or push-ups, releasing endorphins will really, really help your mindset. But two, you should never adopt the mentality that like, I can't end on a winning streak and I can't end on a loss, because that's just going to put you in just an endless version of plowing through bad games that aren't beneficial to your development or to your rank. And a lot of people protect their rank every day. And the best way to protect your rank is just walk away from the game, even for a half hour. Go walk around the block or something and just get some movement in, refresh your brain and be ready to go when you come back. So I love your mentality with this. This is something you and I have talked about off the air many times, and it's so exciting to hear that it's penetrating your practice a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So tomorrow I'll probably wake up. I might do a couple games if I feel like it. I might not. And then we have pro-am all day tomorrow after I get out of work and ready to hit that court.
So exciting, man. I'm very glad that that the new build is working and that it's been exciting. Let's shift gears here and talk a little bit about the MVP race. And I know.
Absolutely. But before we break,
Okay.
I do want to say thank you to Shoddy's Jerseys for
Oh,
sponsoring
shoddies.
the podcast. If you are looking for a custom jersey or a random Rodman jersey that nobody has worn in 20 years or a current
Yes.
jersey, make sure you follow Shoddy's Jerseys on Instagram and send them a message that you heard from Rise Above 2K to order a jersey, and Shoddy's will hook you up. Thank you again, Shoddy's Jersey, for sponsoring the podcast.
Let me tell you, my Jaden Ivey jersey is of the absolute highest quality, and you gotta follow these guys. You gotta talk to them. They will hook you up with some of the best jerseys you've had, and it's just incredible what they do. So, thank you for bringing up Shotties. I would have blown right by it. Now we're gonna comically talk about the MVP race 2 weeks in because it seems like it seems like that's a relevant topic. But there have been a lot of people are saying 40 is the new 20 in terms of scoring in the NBA because scoring has just gone bananas to start this season, which is so much fun. But it's put a couple players as standouts, and they're not new names. It's something like, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know. Giannis is back and doing whatever. Like we know most of these people, but there are some exciting names, and I'm gonna pull up odd subject to change most recent odds for MVP this early in the season. SGA is at +175, Wemby's at +300, Jokic is at 460, Doncic is at 550. Giannis is at 750, and then it kind of gets long shots with Anthony Edwards, Maxey, Durant, not Durin, and Steph Curry and Cade Cunningham. I had to throw him in there. There's +10,000, whatever, it doesn't matter. So there's a lot of excitement. What are you looking at early on as an MVP candidate, and what's really caught your eye about the player?
So my heart is with Victor Wembanyama after seeing him in person. There's nobody who can do what he can do. And the fact that he is in this new obsession with post-up moves from working with Hakeem Olajuwon and Kevin Garnett
Yeah. KG, yeah, KG.
is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
Shea's not going to average 15 rebounds a game. Shea's not going to average 5 blocks a game. Shea's not going to do any of that. But what Victor's not going to do is I don't see Victor averaging 35 points a game because he has not gotten his fade down as much as he needs to. And as we speak, watching half of a Suns game, he's become a little overly obsessed with the post game. And, I'm looking at Victor, and I would love to see him win the MVP, but he's only 21. He probably has 10, 20, 30 pounds to add over the next few years.
Yeah, you think so?
Who do I think is going to be the MVP this year? SGA. Who do I think is going to be the MVP for like 5 straight years and 2 or 3 years? Wemby. Because once
Wemby.
Wemby totally figures it out and fully develops into his body, nobody will be able to pick him off. That being said, it depends what the voters are looking at. I think obviously defensive player of the year is going to be a lock for Wimby if he stays healthy, knock on wood. But it's really hard to overlook how dominant SGA has been with scoring. So right now my pick is SGA. I'm pulling for Wimby, and we'll see what happens, in the next 75 games.
Yeah, just a couple left to play. So for me, and people of longtime listeners, all 12, 7 episodes, 8 episodes, whatever we're at, Jokic is my pick. And the reason why, like, I know the slights against his defense, but honestly, he's improved his defensive game to be passable. But what he does a little bit different than everyone else on this list is he makes the people around him so much better, because he's not surrounded by A-plus talent. And where he hits really high numbers on the score sheet, I don't know why I sounded like a soccer pundit there, but where he puts stuff in the box score, what he does for the people around them to provide for their game and make them better is really good. And obviously he's triple-double machine. He's just going to keep producing. And as I've said previously, he's just unstoppable. I will say, as a dark horse, and it's not really a dark horse, I don't know, like plus 750 or something like that, Giannis is having a really, really strong start to the season that I wasn't really expecting, because his surrounding talent is a bunch of his family members, Myles Turner and Kyle Kuzma. So, like, what are you going to expect out of what he has available? But he has been doing some extraterrestrial type stuff. And honestly, I think everyone who's at the front of the league has a really good shot as the, again, 75 games roll on. I just wanted to talk about it because it's so fun to see what the top talent's doing right now. And I feel like every team has a guy who can put up 40. And that just, you don't know who you're going to run into that night. You don't know what you're going to see on the court. And that's so exciting for the game. And with everything that's happening in the background with the NBA and Pablo Torre's reporting and stuff like that, it's just so nice to turn on a game, not have to think about anything else that's happening, and just watch dudes just bucket, bucket, bucket. It's so much fun. So I've really enjoyed the start of the season. I know you have. You've been seeing a lot more in person than I have, but it's such a fun start to the season, and I think we're in for a real treat this year.
Totally. And I'm not just excited for this season, although the Spurs are 5-0 and Wimby's a monster. I'm not just excited for this season. I'm excited for, like, you know, the next 5 to 10 seasons.
Yeah.
Because look at SGA. He's got another eight years in his prime.
Well, and he's got Chet with him too. Like, he's got another bona fide potential future all-star just hanging with him.
And Jalen Williams has been out the whole year. So, like, he's pretty damn good too. And you look at the Spurs, and, like, you know, they have 5 guys out, and they're still 5-0.
The Western Conference is insane.
You know, look at the Warriors, the old man Warriors. I mean, dude, the Lakers, Curry. What the Lakers have done without LeBron,
yep.
And
mm-hmm.
what Luka did his first 3 games, just out of control. And that's just the West. So,
we got
an awesome play, or the NBA is in an awesome place, gambling investigation aside, and it's going to be in a great place in the future. So I'm super excited to talk about it on the Rise Above 2K podcast with every my main man, producer Gex.
Every single week we will be here producing some semblance of content for you. We appreciate all of your time. We're very excited about what's happening in the NBA and in 2K. I have a feeling we're going to have some really solid updates on where the Unicorn Big is next week. So definitely tune in for that. And for everyone here, we appreciate you. Follow us on all the social media platforms. Follow Shotties 100% and get your threads there. Unicorn Big, thank you for your time, man. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Gex.
Cheers, guys.